Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, welcome to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, co-host, Chris Maselli from Locked On Avalanche. With me each and every Thursday, Adam Denker from Locked On Lightning. A lot to get to today, but before we do, Adam, how are you? How was your holiday? Family good? Everybody made it?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Obviously, happy holidays to everyone listening, and as well as you, Chris. Mm-hmm. I was a little late on the Christmas text to you. I realized the day after Christmas, I was like, "Oh crap!"
There's always somebody that is forgotten. That's become like who gets a text message and who doesn't get a text message. And it's not intentional, but like there's so many text messages that go around just saying like happy birthday or Merry Christmas or whatever. And people slip through the cracks. It happens. It's okay. It's okay. I'll be okay. So even though it was the holiday season and it was Christmas, a lot happened Christmas Day because that was the start of the World Juniors. So we will have that discussion. We have not had a discussion of the divisions that are in play for the NHL and this upcoming season, which I am very interested in the fact that they are calling this season the 2020-2021 season, because it's not. It's the 2021 season, but they are still putting in the 2020 in that for whatever reason, even though it doesn't start till January 13th. Mm-hmm. So we are going to be talking about that. And because this will be one of our last chances to do so, because the season is right around the corner, we're going to break from talking hockey and we are going to dig into that Mandalorian final, which was a couple weeks ago now, but now we've had time to digest it and really, I guess, sink our, have you watched it multiple times or was it just one viewing for you and you're good?
I just needed one.
That's all you needed.
I actually waited a couple of days after it initially came out. And
yeah,
it was one of those things where I kept seeing certain posts about it on social media. And you know how people on social media like to ruin everything. Mm-hmm. So I just threw out all my obligations and responsibilities to the side and had to watch this episode.
Yeah. So we will get into that because Like I said, we won't have a lot of opportunity to talk about things outside of hockey because in just a few short weeks, the season is underway. And to kind of give everybody like a programming note, this episode, the show that Adam and I host on Thursdays, will have a specific format once this season hits. And that format will be like, it will be like the Thursday mailbag. And if you follow, you can follow either one of our shows on Twitter. Mine is LOPN_Avalanche. Adam's is LO_Lightning, correct?
Yes, LO_Lightning.
So either one of those two shows or the official Locked On NHL show, and there'll be graphics going up and stuff like that for your mailbag questions. So we'll do two segments dedicated to that. And then the final segment, because we have our new, wonderful, fabulous host on betonline.ag, we will be digging into maybe the best bets of the weekend or the week ahead. And that will be interesting because Adam is a self-proclaimed expert when it comes to betting.
And my wallet says underwise, but I am
the complete opposite. So that will be fun to go back and forth. So go ahead.
And of course, you know, when you could take our picks and kind of match that up about, you know, maybe some of the picks, what's going on the new show as well as Locked On Bets. So definitely could see what maybe the so-called expert here measures up against the actual expert.
Exactly. So just be on the lookout for that. And like I said, get your questions into either one of our show pages or the official Locked On NHL show. All right. So we start with, like I said, Christmas Day was the start of the World Juniors. And, you know, news coming out of that right out of the gate. I think it was even before he didn't even play in the first game, right? Kirby Doc, I think it was the exhibition game.
I believe it was the maybe I it could have been either one. I thought it was the first game.
Well, the first game I think it was when they won 16-2. Right. And he did not play in that game. So I think it was the technically like preseason type of game, like the exhibition right. game that they play where he got hurt. I think he got whacked on the wrist. Did you see that image that came out of his wrist?
I saw the video, the actual play, and it was weird because it wasn't as so much as bad as maybe some of the hits we've seen, especially the one, the terrible classless one we saw in that USA game. But it was just a weird play. It didn't look like it just looked like a normal play, a hockey play where you didn't. I was more surprised that he actually got hurt on it than anything.
Right, and the way he got hurt, like I mean, he's out. They said, not that long ago from when we're recording this, he's going to be out 4 to 5 months.
Yeah,
which is the season,
right?
The way that this NHL season is going, that is the season for Kirby Doc and the Blackhawks. But if you go search out the image, like when you could tell, someone took a picture when he was in like the locker room and he got some treatment or whatever. It's kind of disgusting. It's not in the normal shape that it should be. It almost looks like
I just saw it. wow.
Remember, you know what it made me think of? Have you seen all the Harry Potter movies?
Yeah, it looks like Baby Voldemort.
I was thinking, remember when Harry like fell on his he was playing Quidditch?
Oh yeah, and they turned his arm to like jello. Yeah, that's probably a little better analogy. That's just an unfortunate injury to a young player, and you know, kind of one of, I guess you could call, the key players now for the Chicago Blackhawks. And you know, they already had a tough test in their newfound division, but I mean, now that you have Kirby Doc out, it's going to be even tougher. But I mean, this kind of goes back to what we spoke about on the last episode about, you know, especially with the Rangers not allowing Lafreniere to go play. And you know, we were if you missed that episode, go ahead and check it out, but we spoke about, just to kind of recap, you know, some of the reasons as to why, and you know, if we were the team executives in that position, what would we do? And you know, especially in a COVID, you know, when COVID's still a thing, COVID aside, I mean, you have some of the best talent in your franchise playing in these games. And I mean, here's a case in point in Kirby Doc as to why maybe some teams don't want their players playing in this game. I mean, you're playing for national pride, but at the end of the day, I mean, now you've missed a guy for the entire season. hopefully he doesn't have any complications from that. You know, because I mean, that's talking about, you know, possibly affecting your game.
Yeah, your wrists are, they're important in the game of hockey. And he is somebody specifically that we had targeted when we were talking about the Lafreniere story, when the Rangers weren't going to let him go. We had singled him out to say, like, yeah, you look at a guy like Kirby Doc, and is Chicago doing the right thing by letting him play? You can't do the hindsight is 2020 thing, but you know, they can't really be kicking themselves now. It's like, yeah, we should have done that. You know, going in, that it's always an option. The Avalanche are doing it right now with Bo Byram. You know, he's a future star for them on their blue line, and they're letting him play, and they know full well an injury is possible. So you just have to toe that line and just hope for the best. And it was a fluke thing, and you know, unfortunately, he's gonna be out now. I think maybe Chicago, I don't know, knowing that they probably aren't going to compete for anything this year, said, all right, well, you know, just let them get some a meaningful tournament in. And like I've said before, like, you're playing for your country, so that's always a big deal. If Chicago was in a position that, you know, one of our teams are in, do they let him play? I don't know, because again, you can point to Colorado and say they're letting Bo and Byram play. But Bo Byram probably won't be on the roster for this season. So it's a right. different game for him because Kirby Dach definitely would have been playing for Chicago.
Right.
Big minutes.
And he wouldn't have just been playing. He would have been putting in huge contributions towards his team. So,
exactly.
And this is kind of maybe some of the things. This is probably part of the hesitation as to why the NHL doesn't want their players playing in the Olympics. And it's an unfortunate situation, but I mean, listen, I guess the pro of all this is that Chicago, and this is no knock towards the Blackhawks fans or anything, but I mean, the Chicago Blackhawks, they're kind of, the sun is setting on them, that dynasty right now. If everything is true, what's been circulating, what's been coming out of that franchise, it looks like Taves and Kane might be out the door soon. And this might even give them more of an incentive to make a deal. So now where they could even look at this system is just kind of this season is just sort of a throwaway and to get some big draft picks and everything.
Anytime players like, you know, of that stature change uniforms, it's always weird to see. Yeah. If it happens, and you know, with Lundqvist changing from the Rangers to Washington, that was going to be weird to see that, which we're not going to see this year because he's opting for open heart surgery, which is just scary, crazy, any adjective you want to use to describe that. That's a bizarre situation there for him.
Yeah, and at least it's one of those things where once he gets it done, it won't be that big of an issue. Obviously, from some of the things I've heard, it seems like depending on the kind of, I believe, valve that is put into his heart, we could be talking about possibly him playing next season or him having to retire. So, at least this sort of thing happened at sort of the tail end of his career and not when he was just about to play his first NHL season.
I mean, fast forward and... you know, he gets the surgery taken care of. He recovers. He comes back next season and Washington makes the Stanley Cup final.
We're not even talking about Stanley Cup. He's winning the Vezina.
I mean, we are all Washington Capitol fans.
Yeah.
If that is the scenario for him, I mean, that would just be an absolute, even as a backup, which he probably will be, it wouldn't matter. It would not matter.
And it seemed like, especially when the signing went through, like nobody was more excited about him joining Washington than Ovi. And it, especially if he does come back, I feel like Ovi is going to score like 80 goals just to get him to just the Stanley Cup.
Yes. that will be an absolute epic moment. So you heard it here first. If it does happen, we predicted that and maybe we can bet on that. Can we put a future on that? Maybe
I think we can. I mean, eventually, yes. Once the surgery goes through,
yeah,
we could, I mean, we probably not, I don't think on Bet Online, but I'm sure there's some shady betting sites where you could put in a bet as to what kind of valve he gets in his heart. So.
Yeah, no, I'm not going that far. All right. So, these divisions that we have, they've been talked about, not by us, but well, I talked about it on my show. I'm sure you talked about it on your Locked On Lightning. As a whole, though, like I think everybody's kind of in agreement that the East is probably the best division. Mm-hmm. And I've heard people say like it's the East and then those other three divisions. Mm-hmm. And I would even, you know, the division the Avalanche are in the West, I would say is probably the weakest. What's your stance on where Tampa is in the Central? Is this something that they walk away through just, you know, easily, or can somebody kind of push them maybe like Carolina or Dallas or something?
Well, before, you know, I came out on my show and spoke about this, it was about an hour or so with the news coming out that Kucherov was out for the season. Now that is a huge blow. And I said on my show, if we have a healthy Lightning team rolling out, you know, I'm talking Stamkos without worrying about him to get help, you know, without him possibly getting injured, Kucherov ready to go, and then you have Point, who had a monster postseason.
Mm-hmm.
If you have everybody rolling on all cylinders, I could have seen Tampa winning 50 games this year. But now,
at a 56?
Oh, absolutely. Vasilevsky's playing at least 35 of those games. And so, the thing is that when you look at the Central, really the only teams in my mind that are really a kind of a threat, I guess, are Colorado, Columbus, Dallas, and maybe Chicago. But now with Kirby Dock out, it's really going to be maybe a little fight for possibly that last spot. But you know what? I think this was the best case scenario for all the divisions. I really like how they look, just geographically speaking, because I think, you know, I said on my show for probably, you know, before the divisions came out that I would have really have loved to have seen a Southern division for the NHL. And then that would kind of put a bow on sort of the Florida, Nashville, Tampa, Dallas kind of, and Carolina, you know, kind of like group of teams. And maybe that's more of a reason as to why the NHL's put a franchise in New Orleans. But really, yeah, I mean, I have to agree with you. The East is really going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a tough division to win, especially because correct me if I'm wrong, it's the top four teams in each division that are making the playoffs. And so, you know, even to get to that number four spot is going to be a hell of a battle to get in there. You know, don't sleep on New Jersey or, you know, teams like the Islanders either, because, you know, I spoke recently with ESPN's Greg Wyshynski, who's a huge Lightning fan. I mean, a huge Devils fan. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, if it's one thing that the Devils have always proven, that they are very successful in shortened seasons. But I really love the North and the whole Canadian division. I really would love to see that maybe become a permanent thing. I don't know how, you know, for rivals, for the sake of keeping up rivalries, maybe that might not happen, but I do like the West as well. I think really at the end of the day though, it's maybe a two horse race between Colorado and St. Louis, maybe Vegas. We'll kind of threaten for the first place. I don't know how reasonable that will be, but yeah, as for the Lightning division, I love it. I think that it's their division to lose. What are you thinking about the West? Do you think that there's maybe going to be another team that we're not discussing out of the West that's probably going to make some noise, or is it more along the lines of what I said with St. Louis and really Colorado kind of fighting it out?
Yeah. Well, I think that's what's going to be. It's very, very top heavy. The thought was Dallas was going to be in that division before they were announced. And then, you know, it came out and Dallas switched to the Central and Minnesota went to the West. So when that happened, it was like, okay, you know who the top three are, with Colorado, St. Louis, and Vegas. And who's going to be that fourth team? The fourth team, which will technically be a playoff team, is, you know, a team that most likely wouldn't have been in any other in normal divisions between Anaheim, Arizona, LA, Minnesota, and San Jose. So it's a must to finish first in this division, because you will be going up against the number four team, who's one of those teams. So, you know, if you're 2 and 3, you know, say Colorado drops to 2 and Vegas is 3, and that's a tough first round matchup.
Yeah.
So that's the important thing of it. I think something is going to happen in one of these divisions, and it could be the East, like you mentioned, New Jersey. Because you are playing nothing but your division, and you're playing these teams, what is it, 7 times, 8 times in a season?
I believe it's 8 times.
Yeah, so yeah, 8 times in a season. Like, if you get a good matchup against the team, you can move yourself up into a good spot.
Yeah, especially with playing them back to back now.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You can do a lot of damage, and I keep going back to Colorado struggling with the Kings last year. I think like the Kings are gonna fight for first, second, or third? No, not by any stretch of the imagination. But if they do what they did at the end of last season, they were the hottest team in the league,
right?
Going into the pause, and the way that they played against Colorado, if they can have a winning record against a team like Colorado, they could sneak in there.
Yeah,
easily. So you're not playing the all you're not playing all 30 other teams in a league. You're playing seven.
Right.
And if you can get a run going on, you know, one or two of them that you match up well with, crazy things can happen for a team to slide into a fourth spot easily.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this is the kind of season, you know, and the format that has all the makings of one of those teams that's going to come out and shock the world and kind of, you know, we saw it in the playoffs with the Islanders and what the Stars did as well. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I could see Buffalo possibly getting that fourth spot.
Yeah, I could.
I mean, you know, who knows how Taylor Hall is going to play with Jack Eichel, but I mean, if those two are firing all cylinders, and hey, listen, I mean, 56 games, a team could get hot for 25 of those who normally has no business even sniffing the playoffs. So, I mean, we could very well see Ottawa overperforming way sooner than what we expected them to do. Who is your favorite? And, you know, just to kind of cap off this topic, who is your favorite maybe out of the North that you think is going to maybe come out?
I think in the North, I think this is in Toronto all day, every day. I think they win this going away. But the interesting thing about the North is it's Toronto, and then you can make an argument for all of those other teams to have a playoff spot, including Ottawa. You really can. Because you get four teams per division. Mm-hmm. So the North is the only division that has seven teams. You know, so you only, you know, three teams are going to miss out in the North. So anybody can do anything in that division other than win it. I think it's Toronto's walking away.
Yeah, absolutely. I could, you know, it's one of those things where I think it's going to come down to Edmonton, Toronto. And I think that I feel like a lot of people feel like that. But we spoke about it on this show numerous times after the playoffs. I mean, Vancouver just impressed the hell out of me in the playoffs last year. And if they show any sign of life as to, you know, how they played then into this season, oh boy. I mean, I could see them not only finishing maybe second, but even first. And
right.
So how would you rank, you know, I think the East is probably I think we're in agreement that the East is the best division, but what about Central, West, and North? Where are you ranking those as maybe superiority?
I think the North is second. I do. I think because all those teams are really, you don't know. You could go around and say, who's your top four in that division? You'll probably get a bunch of different answers with the exception of Toronto. Probably everybody has Toronto. I really like the North. I think the Central is next. I think Tampa is the class of that one, but Carolina is a really good team. Columbus is a good team. Dallas is a good team. Detroit will be improved and to say that they will be competitive. And Nashville is always a fight. Right. So I think that's third. And then I think the weakest division is the West. And like we said, it's very top heavy with Colorado, St. Louis, and Vegas, and then the California teams, and then Minnesota and Arizona. So I think
poor Marco Rossi.
Oh man. Yeah. So what is that? How's yours go?
I would have to say, you know, the East obviously first, the North, and then the West, and then the Central. I think
really
with this Central division, I think it's like it's almost as if, like, you know, when you're in the gym and you've been lifting really heavy weights, and then you go down to the 20 pounders and it's like nothing. I feel like in a way, even with everything that some of the change that's happened to Tampa's roster, I feel like this is nothing compared to playing in the Atlantic division. So I you know, not having to play Boston until possibly the postseason,
right?
I mean, that's a godsend, I think, for Tampa. And I think a lot of Lightning fans, as well as probably the Lightning, are kind of relieved that they don't have to deal with the Bruins you know, until the playoffs. But obviously they will have Columbus, so that will be interesting to see, as well as, I mean, we'll be having Stanley Cup rematches the entire year. And the one thing that's going to be interesting is, and I kind of want to get your input before we go into another topic, is that we could see, I think it's going to come down to physicality this year. I don't think it's going to be the same old story with the NHL. I think it's, these teams are, you know, for the amount of times they're going to be seeing each other, I really think they're going to get tired of each other real quick. And that's going to lead to a lot of physical games where guys are going to break down a lot faster. And you know, that kind of goes back to the whole thing of maybe teams kind of sneaking in who we haven't maybe thought of
before. Well, that definitely is true. And like, when you take a look at the schedule, it's brutal. It is, you know, you get pretty much no more than a day off at any point in the season. And you're basically playing every other day with, you know, back-to-back sprinkled in there. You know, the Avalanche scheduled, I think there's one spot in April where they have like 4 days off. Other than that, it's every other day or back-to-backs. Who is that going to hurt? The older teams, they're just not going to have the stamina. That is going to be something that we'll have to watch by the end of the year, and who still kind of has like fresh legs, basically.
Yeah, it's gonna be really interesting to see how, especially the coaches around the league, play certain players, and as well as goalies.
Yeah, definitely goalies. Absolutely. Yeah, it's gonna be brutal. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. One thing that was not brutal was that Mandalorian finale. Now, I have been critical of it, and I have not been a fan. So I think the season two was pretty brutal to watch, to stick with the brutal conversation, but I didn't like it. I did not like it whatsoever. And but the finale kind of saved it for me. I very much enjoyed the finale, and we're going to talk spoilers because it's been out for 3 weeks now. If you haven't watched it by then, what are you doing? And what's your take on it? You've been a fan of this the entire way, have you not?
Yeah, I'm one of those hardcore Star. Well, actually, here's the thing. Let me explain it. So I'm one of those hardcore Star Wars fans who, anything they put out except for maybe the last trilogy, I love it. I love every second of it.
Okay.
And then kind of you brought me down back to earth, because for our listeners who don't know, I would, after usually every episode that would come out, I would text Chris and be like, what'd you think?
Yeah.
And Chris was very harsh, like he said. I mean, every time he would text me back, you know, just to put it simple, it was filler. You know, so, and then I started to catch on. It was kind of like I took the blue pill and I was like, oh my goodness, like he's absolutely right. So kind of, but the good thing is, and I kind of learned from season one, is that it seemed like that really every little part that they put in there, and this is really a testament to, you know, Kevin Feige and Jon Favreau, is that every little thing that they sprinkle in there, it's not wasted ingredients. They all kind of call back to it at the end of the season. We saw that to a certain extent in the finale. I think everyone was, you know, whether you didn't like the second season or you loved it like I did, I think we could all agree that finale, especially with everything kind of, you know, kind of that call back to the original saga, it's great. And to, you know, the only thing I didn't like, and I spoke to Chris about this before we record it, is CGI face Luke Skywalker. Now, I'm not a fan of it. I think they could have done a better job. What was your take on that? I know it's Luke Skywalker at the end of the day, but at the same time,
yeah, I mean,
call up Sebastian Stan. He's not doing anything.
That's
right
what
now.
Everybody's saying. Yeah, like go that route. To me, it's like, what are you going to do? I mean, you know, Mark Hamill is pushing 60s now. So what else can you, that's the only other option you can do is to get Sebastian Stan. But I think people would have a big problem with that if they did that, because now you're sullying Luke Skywalker and replacing him with a completely different actor. Right. I don't know. I to me, it's like, once you get over the fact of it's CGI and just appreciate it on the story merits, I'm okay with it. Like it, you can't do anything else. There's nothing else you can really do.
Well, on that point, I mean, everybody made a big deal with Hayden Christensen and Anakin Skywalker, and now people can't get enough of him. I mean, I'm super excited that he's coming back to Obi-Wan, but I mean, that's the thing about Star Wars fans. I mean, no matter what you do, it's never going to be enough, but I hope we see more of Grogu. I call him Baby Yoda. But
I still do too.
It's just a weird name. I mean, they couldn't come up with anything better.
Well, it's like they stole it from Dragon Ball.
That is true. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think we're done with it. I think this is his story. I think we'll get maybe because all of these other shows that are coming out on Disney Plus, maybe we'll get some like side story of how he's doing and what he's. But I don't want to see a full season of CGI'd Luke.
I'd hope not.
I don't want to see that. I'm fine with it the way they did it with one scene, and that's good. But I think this is it. I think that's it for maybe
the only thing is, and I've been seeing it on Instagram, and I totally agree with the people, is that we do need to see sort of a cut scene, whether it's in Mandalorian or one of the other episodes. We need to see what happens to him before the events of The Force Awakens, because if he gets killed by Kylo Ren, we're going to have issues.
Well, some people think that, that he was there when Anakin killed all the younglings.
Yes, that's interesting. But the one show that I'm super excited to see, just because this is maybe like my cup of tea when it comes to Star Wars, and I think you're right. I think we're going to see some sort of crossover somewhere where that maybe he does cross paths with maybe Boba Fett or maybe someone else in the other episodes. Maybe he runs into Ahsoka. I would love to see how they tie that in with Acolyte, because that's definitely going to be around. I know from what I read online, it looks like Yoda is going to be in that show. He's going to have a little cameo here and there.
Okay. All right.
So who knows what we'll see in that show, but I would love, I mean, that's the show I would love to see, but I think he's going to pop up in other shows. I think
he's too much of a cash cow and people love him. And I think they would not be doing the fans a service if they completely ignored him. Going forward, but I think we're done with him being the focal point of a season or a show.
I agree.
And then I heard a lot of people were kind of just upset at the fact that Luke was in it in any fashion. And my response to that is like, who else is out there? This is post Jedi basically, and it's basically Luke. And a lot of people were thinking that it could have been like Mace Windu because you didn't really see him.
I saw that
if
too.
He really died when he got thrown out the window. Luke makes sense. He's alive. He's still doing things. Like, so he, in this, where the storyline takes place, it makes all the sense in the world that he would come back.
Right.
So I'm fine with it. And, CGI is what we get and it's fine.
Yeah. It's fine. End of the day, I mean, we got kind of like the best of both worlds. We kind of had, cause they could have gone in a totally different, direction with maybe getting, I think there would have been a lot more outrage if they just outright maybe killed Baby Yoda off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No. People didn't want that. Yeah. But I do want to see where this show goes now. I mean, I think season three, we start something brand new.
Well,
this is a whole new mission. Is season three no longer like the Mandalorian himself? Are they including they kind of set up things with like the Darksaber and
I think that's where they're going to go. I think what's going to happen is we're kind of going to dive more into the whole Mandalorian story and see what really happened there and maybe how he kind of wrestles with the idea of being, he's a foundling, so he's technically not a Mandalorian, but this is the only family he has. So
just make it more involved. He's so monotone and just like one-dimensional. It's tough to do a whole series on him. He needs a crew, and he could have it right now. So if he has a crew with him that goes on missions with him, I'm fine with that. But the way that they did season two was just, hey, I need information. Oh, I'll give it to you, but you got to help me first. And it's like,
that was true.
Oh God, come on.
It was almost to me at times after you kind of popped my bubble that as if I was playing a video game and I was just completing mission on mission. But my only request for season three is bring back Mayfield. Bill Burr was as much as used to crap on the show and everything. He was probably one of the best characters they had in the limited time that they had him. So I would love to see more of him in season three. As to the extent of that, I don't know. I feel like if they overuse him, then maybe he loses kind of his
little bit of the appeal. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I get it. Yep.
But plus, he's the only guy. I make the joke to my girlfriend when we watch it. I always say he's the only guy in the galaxy that's from Boston.
There is a Boston somewhere in a galaxy far, far away.
It's buried underneath Tatooine.
Oh, that's fantastic. So I know it's a popular show, but let us know what you think. Are you kind of on my side of like it just didn't resonate with you because of all the side missions? I want to hear from people on this. So find me on the Twitter machine, LOPN_Avalanche. They can find you at
AP Danker, DNKER. And of course, you could tweet to me. I'll at the LO_Lightning Twitter page. It's a great season. Both our teams are favored to win the Stanley Cup. Yours have the best odds at +700.
Mm-hmm.
The Lightning are tied with the Golden Knights at +800. We'll see if really you could buy a championship in hockey. We'll see if the Knights could do that.
Right, exactly. So, and be on the lookout. Like I said, probably not next week, but the week after. We'll be doing, or maybe we should start next week. I don't know. We'll have to have that conversation about if we're going to start the mailbag segments next week. So just be on the lookout for that over on Twitter, on the show's Twitter page, or mine or Adam's Twitter pages. So that will be it for today, my friend.
And also, quick, what's before up? We sign off, when this episode drops, it's New Year's Eve. So
technically, yes, you're right.
So happy, you know, we're recording this on Monday. So happy New Year to everybody.
Yep.
Please stay safe. You know, drink responsibly. If you're going to, you know, party with some friends, don't drive. Don't be stupid.
Call an Uber.
Exactly.
Yep. And we can turn the page on 2020. And when we turn the page, what better way to start a year with hockey? So I think we're off to a good start in 2021. So,
yeah, absolutely.
All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you next week.